Again, we begin with the breath. This is the beginning of life, the breath, and this is the ending of life, the breath. Just notice your breath. Notice your breath breathing you. Just feel what it's like to let the breath freely breathe you. The breath in your shoulders, allow them to relax. Breath in your belly. And just feel the breath, the natural flow of the breath, allowing your belly to soften. Feel the breath in your back. And all the way down your legs into your little tiny toe or big toe. Become aware of the life, of your aliveness. Breath in your hands. Aliveness flowing through your arms. Maybe you notice it as tingling or warmth. And just let yourself in this moment relax into that aliveness, into that breath. Letting yourself just be. As you are. as your body is, letting your feelings be there. Allowing the thoughts without getting attached to them. And come back to the breath, the aliveness. Is the awareness that is your anchor. Root down into the earth, the ground. And open up to the sky. Allowing your heart to naturally open and soften. Into your inherent goodness. Opening into your innate preciousness, even if you have forgotten it, it's there. Right, let yourself become aware of how the breath, each breath, is nourishing you, bringing new life to you, with every cell. Let yourself become aware of the deliciousness, just breathing in. Feeling the warmth, the freshness. The aliveness. Let it feed you. Life naturally does. Let yourself be fed and nourished in this moment. The mind wanders. Allow it to experience the breath nourishing it so it can take a rest. It's like letting the mind have a bath. Stream of life. notice what your experience is. What are you feeling? Nice bird song. So that's perfect, this moment. You just see what comes up in you. Maybe it's laughter, maybe it's annoyance. I'll just take what is happening exactly as it is. Just notice what's arising for you. What feeling is present for you? What sensation? What's here in you? See what it's like to bring to whatever you experience, whatever you feel, simple friendliness. And relating. Just let that know, I am here for you. I am here with you, sadness. I am here for you, anger. Or joy. Whatever is here. Or boredom. Excitement. Let that stillness and that goodness in your heart relate to whatever is arising with friendliness. This presence. And notice what you experience when you do that. in, lean back into your breath, into your aliveness. Relax into it. Rest. In the ease of the natural flow of life flowing through you. Reminding you, you are precious, simply as you are. Our union is like this. You feel cold, so I reach for a blanket to cover our shivering feet. A hunger comes into your body, so I run to my garden and start digging potatoes. You ask for a few words of comfort and guidance. I quickly kneel at your side, offering you my whole heart as a gift. You ache with loneliness one night, so much you weep, and I say, here's a rope, tie it around me. I will be your companion for life. I'll have to come with you. So as I said before, this is the last evening on the Dharma and relationships for now. And by the way, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Nicola Amadora. So. And tonight is about... Oh, we can take it. I'm so sorry about that cell phone. It usually doesn't ring very often. Anyway, so... And... I put two words together, nourishment and difficulties. They don't really go very well together, do they? And yet, it is actually exactly what we have to, what is in this world of duality, is joy and there's pain. We're always at both. And if the more we can embrace and accept both, the more we're on the stream of life, and the more we're able to relate. So to the level of resistance we have against either one, whether it's joy and allowing the nourishment, or the pain, that's part of life too, the greater our resistance and our defense, the less we're in relationship with life. And therefore, the less we are relating to others. So the more we can actually open to the basic premises, there's joy and there's pain in life, in relationships, in any kind of relationship. And accept that that's what it is, that's what's there. The more we are free to actually relate from our inherent loving presence or goodness, whatever name you want to give, or a Buddha nature. But then we're not busy defending ourselves. And then we're not busy hiding. And we're open. And we also might be more willing to engage, really engage. So, and particularly, relationships show us so well where we are with life, with ourselves, and where we are in relation to pain and joy. You might have noticed when I did the guided meditation a little bit, what happens when you actually allow even the breath to nourish you. To allow life to nourish us, because it constantly does. We just don't know this often. And I'm not just, talking also for myself too. And also what it's like to engage with when there is pain arising, when there is discomfort arising, and we relate to it from being present. I'm here for you. Not, I want you to go away. I mean, you might want to have it go away, but still, if you relate to it from I'm here for you. There's a basic welcome. And so that welcome you will carry into the world of relationships. People will feel that with you. And so there will be a natural comfort, a natural ease. As they will feel they're welcomed as they are. And you are welcoming yourself as you are. So, and No, I take the relationship more in a broader context. I would say any relationship is like a garden. Thich Nhat Hanh, I like Thich Nhat Hanh a lot. I lived with him for a while, and he's a well-known Zen master, and I lived with him. I had the good fortune of living with him really closely 25 years ago already in Plum Village. And he would always talk about nourishing the plants. I really liked his expression because it's like a relationship is a garden and it has many plants in it. There's your tree. It's a different tree than mine. There's your flowers, and there might be different flowers from the flowers you have. But when we come together, we have a lesser garden, right? We have two trees, or now we have a lot of trees or a lot of flowers in this room. And yet, the garden of relationship needs to be nourished and watered and composted, and also it needs to be pruned sometimes, and there needs to be some weeds take over and you might need to pull some. Sometimes there's poison or trash in the garden. And that means you have to deal with it and to, clean up. Otherwise it chokes out the life of a relationship. But also the same is true if you don't water the plant of the relationship. It dries up, huh? The earth dries up. It's dry and hard. So, or the plants are just barely making it because you wonder why is this relationship with this friend going nowhere. Maybe it's because it just needs, you need some quality time with each other. Or maybe it is because you need to talk about a couple of things that ain't going right. It's like you need to look. Sometimes it needs simple practice of nourishment that's equally important as dealing with stuff. Sometimes a relationship with an intimate partner, for example, it can go to the extreme of swing too much to the side of like we're dealing all the time with difficulties. And it goes sour. Yeah? There's no more joy in it. So it's important to bring in the nourishment, not just deal with difficulties and practical stuff in daily life, but also to just say, spend quality time together, do something that's really enjoyable together. Nurture each other, nurture the relationship, and see what is this garden needing? Where am I in this garden? The main question that is, I find a very simple question and very useful question from the Buddha, what is of benefit? What will benefit my partner, my friend, my neighbor? It's just that simple question can open. It sounds so simple, but it's actually a very profound question. Sometimes we go into, oh, what nourishes me will nourishes my partner, will nourishes my partner, but that might not be true. Your neighbor might not like soup. You might like soup. You might have a friend who loves books. Just because you love computers, it might not be the best gift. I'm talking about very basic things here. It might not be the best gift to give your friend an iPhone or something. It might be good to look what books does your friend love. Same with your partner. Sometimes it can so easily happen that we forget, yes, we have the same essence, the same nature in us, but as personalities, they're very different plants. And that's the beauty of it. So it's easy sometimes to merge so much that we forget. Your partner is different and loves different things. So it can be beautiful to just find out what is this person next to me actually liking and loving and wanting and needing? What would benefit the other? What would really be beneficial? You learn that by getting to know another, but you also know, you find out, you look, you be present, you find out, and then you can also, we can listen to our hearts. It will tell. It might be something very simple, a kind word. So the same question applies to yourself. So often we stand in relationship expecting another person to know exactly what we want, what we need, what we like, and what we love. And then on top of it, we expect that the closer the person is, the more we want them to fill up our cup, and especially an empty cup, which means you're the one who's going to fulfill everything that I've never gotten in life. That's a great expectation, and it's usually unspoken, but a disaster for relating, because it starts to, it's like emptying out the other person, and I call it sucker relationships. Basic taking. So it's not that we do this consciously necessarily, but it does tend to happen when this expectation is present. So it's more wise to just see my partner, my friend, other people may not know me. And what I would love is, or what I need or want is, you know, a hand to help me out with carrying the buckets. Instead of expecting, I can just say, would you be willing to help me out? Leaving it free for the other person to say yes or no. That alone brings a lot of equanimity and a lot of acceptance and openness. You invite, you ask, and then it's up to the other person to say either yes or no or maybe. In that moment, what you're doing is you open yourself to receive what another might want to give to you and might not know. So that unspoken expectation, better speak it out, what you need, what you like. And in that moment, some nourishment can come into your cup and you receive it easier too. So that same question can be applied, what is of benefit for a relationship? You look at the garden and you see, well, what is of benefit? Well, you talk with your friend, your partner. What is of benefit to our relationship? You might not know, but when you sit there together, you might find out. Oh, we could go on a hike. We haven't done this for a long time. We could go and meditate together. These are all nourishing practices. Or with your family. What would benefit your family? What would nourish your family? Usually, it can be sure that usually it's something very simple. It's not complicated. It doesn't mean you need to take a long trip to around the world, which is nice, but simple things like sharing a meal together every night, or at least once a week, and sharing during that meal, what did you enjoy today? What's good? What feels? What do you like? Deeper questions maybe, or deeper sharing. What do you feel? These are things that open the doors to communication. But also these simple rituals, like, you know, I used to, when my girl was little, we're always good to light the candle and sing a song for the good night. And that candle lighting, I don't know how many candles we used up over all those years. She's 17, still likes that candle be lit every night. Just that these simple, these are nourishment, the reminders of what's real. And this is what we can do for each other and with each other. So in our hurriedness, you know, we have a certain built up a society where we practice a lot of hurrying and stress. What can be forgotten in that hurrying and stress is these things that nourish, that truly nourishes us. And that reminds us who we are. And it helps us to really connect with each other. So the practice, like I mentioned Thich Nhat Hanh before, he had this simple, this day, these lazy days on a Sunday. And it was just a practice of being, doing nothing, and being together. Or being alone. Just sit and look at the stars together. Take a walk together and breathe together. Share about what's really meaningful. Share our hearts what we really feel, what we experience. And that allows us to experience, know that we're not alone for one, but it allows us to experience all our nature. Each other's nature. There's a lot of it. That's really where we come together, and that's where it becomes satisfying. Otherwise, we just have a lot of superficial relationships, and it starts to become empty. So, my encouragement is that we did in the practice, miss the meditation, follow what's alive in you. Follow what's alive in the relationship. Feel into what is the aliveness between when you sit with your friend, and follow that. It might just lead you into, like, I have a friend and she just called me one day in the summer and said, you know, I want to come over for a walk, and the sea that wasn't so cold and it was warm, and I knew that she loves the ocean as much as I do, and spontaneously we just went down to the beach, threw our clothes off, and jumped into the ocean and started swimming. We had so much fun, and it was so spontaneous, and I'm sure you have many examples like that. But what stuck in our memory, since then we have done it every year, right? The annual swim. And that's what stayed with us, that nourishment and that connectedness and sharing. So, always coming back to what's beneficial for the garden is a really useful question. What's beneficial for your garden? What's beneficial for your friend's garden? What's beneficial for our garden? Because as soon as you're in relationship, you have a garden together. Even if it's for a couple of hours, you have a garden together. And you can tend to it. And it will nurture you as well as the other. So, and of course, in that garden, sometimes there might be prickly things, and there might be sticky things, and there might be uncomfortable things, and there might be some plants who really don't get so well on with each other. And this is where it gets interesting. So this is the places that get touched inside, like when the cell phone went on. So what got touched in you, right? That's the places that give us the opportunity to awaken, to meet what is arising, and therefore be able to become more present and more compassionate. You grow the plants of the Dharma through meeting what comes along. It would be really nice, I think so too, if there was no sticky plants and no thorns, and if the roses really didn't have any thorns, it would be really cool. Maybe. But maybe those thorns are very helpful sometimes, so we can actually appreciate the tenderness of the plant of the rose inside. And maybe it brings us to caution to not touch it harshly, but with awareness. So, there would be a lot that could be said about dealing with hurts and difficulties, and I will bring more. You know, I could fill now hours with it, but you know, the basic, I would say, way to relate is, first of all, to have a relationship that says, yes, there are thorns. Yes, it is okay, even if I don't like it, that life or relationship, sometimes there will be pain. Because the moment you close up to what happens for most of us, at some point in life you get hurt, and it usually happens in relationships, and then you get hurt again, and then comes some more hurt. At some point it says internally, I ain't want to have any more pain, because if I have my heart open, I'm going to have pain. If I close my heart, I ain't going to have no pain. Because you don't feel anything anymore when you close up. You go a little numb. This, of course, sounds like a nice strategy for the mind, and has control over everything, because now I ain't gonna have no more pain, or at least I won't feel it. The only problem with it is you cutting yourself off from life. You literally, the more you close down, the more you cut off from love and from life itself and from relationships. That's the drawback, and it's a big drawback. So the question would be to ponder on, like, am I willing to experience pain as part of being here, and meet it with friendliness, with good, with lovingness, or do I want to stay stuck, safe, so-called safe, but not alive? But we all have our edge somewhere, so it doesn't mean you stay in you engage in abusive relationships. It doesn't mean you continuously seek out people to hang out with who are really violent. That's not the point. But are you willing to allow your heart to be open a little more? Are you willing to say, to meet the pain if and when it arises? And I remember Thich Nhat Hanh said the simple words that, I am here with you. I am here for you. When you meet a challenge, a pain, a difficulty, another person or yourself with that, I am here with you. I am here for you. Just hearing those words right now, just feel what happens inside of you. Someone says that to me, comes from that place, it opens me. And it allows me to feel comfort and ease. the same way you can relate to yourself, the same way you can relate to another. So if you have a difficulty, first basis is about finding a deeper understanding. Not mentally so much, but more, you know, the word compassion in German, actually, in English translated it means like with, it's Latin meaning with passion. I like it in German, the word is Mitgefühl, and it translated it means feeling with. That's the basis when you engage, when you deal with difficulties, is to have, feel with the other, be there with each other. So if you want to deal something, you know, resolve a conflict, it's always good to make, of course, to make a time for it and sit down with each other. But the first thing, so actually compassion can arise, is to connect first and to allow yourself to feel with what might it be over there? What might it be for you? What do you feel and experience? The same, I let you know how I'm feeling or what I'm experiencing, and we allow each other to have that experience. From that openness, from that willingness to engage with compassion, I learned so many languages, so sometimes they get mixed up. From that place, from that openness and that acceptance, a natural sense of compassion can arise. And then from that place, you can actually so much easier to resolve something. Or to just sit for a moment with each other and breathe. And then say, even, I care about you, I'm here with you. If you take anything into your language repertoire, it might be a very useful thing to have. And let yourself feel that when you say it. And it's not the easiest thing when you're feeling actually angry and hurt, and the other person is angry and hurt. Might be a good time to just take a walk first, or be by yourself, and then come back. And say, you know, this is what my experience is. What's yours? Just alone, that connecting and sharing and that openness allows for more intimacy. Not only with the other person, but with yourself, and again with life, with the breath. Without that, the knots continue and continue. I'm sure many of you might know how this feels, these constricting knots with other people. Yeah, I see some smiles here. Very familiar and very unpleasant too. And then comes more suffering and hoping the thing will go away. And if we just, or maybe if we just talk about it, that really I want to make you wrong, and actually is your fault in any case. I will not say that, of course. Because we have developed very sophisticated language. So just look what is motivating you when you speak. This is where it takes a little bit more self-awareness and self-discipline to handle those difficulties and actually be able to listen to another without fixing, without advice, but really receiving the other. Even if you have the story you really want to say, it's going to be your turn. Just know it's like that again, we tend to the garden, this is our garden. So it is our pain right now. is ours. And each one brings some tools to it and some presence and kindness. Then it becomes compost. You laughing? Because then our difficulties can become composted, and when we deal with them skillfully and with real, from our preciousness, we have enormous amounts of compost available, especially if we have a lot of problems. You know, in some gardens where there's not the willingness from both people, it gets a little more difficult. Then you can just do your part. And maybe the relationship is not going to be so deep as you wish it to be. So, I wanted to read you another poem before. Oops. Times always go. I don't know what it is with time. I have an interesting relationship with time. It seems to go faster and faster the older you get. I don't know. Has anybody noticed?
Yeah.
Doing my best to relate to it. Well, it's a poem about Mitgefühl, about compassion. Lean your tired head against my shoulder, and I hold you for a while, as only a mother might do, or a father. With tender hands, I stroke your hair. Wipe your tears from your precious face and give you a loving place to rest, to just be. I won't bother you with clever advice, fix you, or tell you what you should do if I were you. But I will give you this, to just receive all of you, with all your bags and treasures too. I'm simply present, being here with you, as I gaze into your heart, which sighs in relief to be met and held as you are right now. So, of course, way more to say about all that. And for those who were in the first session, whatever you have going on with anybody, remember, just connect first. Just connect. Even if you need to play footsie, it actually works really well. Just connect. Then deal with what you got to deal with. Because that's your base, the aliveness and the connection and the lovingness that each one of us has. Even if it means you just have to say, you know, I feel terrified. It's okay. It just means we get a bit more vulnerable with each other. And real. And then it's a lot of fun too. Because then you have relationships where you can just be real. You. With all of it. And let the other person be real too. So, just notice what you're experiencing in this moment in yourself. Just notice your own heart right now. Is it closed? Is it a little open? And just let yourself have that. Just notice that. And just breathe into that beautiful heart of yours. See what it's like to let it open a little more. that life. Maybe someone comes to mind you'd like to nourish, someone you would like to deal with something in a better way. Or maybe there's a moment where you might realize someone that you like to spend more time with. Just notice for a moment where your heart tells you. About the garden with another. What might benefit this garden of with your friend or partner? Or your neighbor? What might benefit? And if for a moment you want to turn to one another, just a very brief moment, just turn to the next person if you like. And if you don't like, you have to do it anyway. Otherwise, you have to talk to me. Just sit opposite, just face each other for a moment. It's very brief, it won't be going on very long. And just let each other know your names, and just for a moment, just take a moment to share what comes up from this brief meditation that we just did, what's in your heart that you'd like to do for the garden of any relationship you have, or just to share that, and maybe to share, if you feel comfortable enough, to where is your heart at? Is it feeling closed or open or trembling? You know, just to let another know if you like. So who does not have anybody and who wants to be with somebody? If there is a third person, would you like to join them? Or do you have, you want to? Okay.
Thank you.
Couple of minutes. You're welcome afterwards to have a cup of tea and cookies and spend more time together and connect with each other if you like. For now, I just want to place a question, an open forum here. Anybody who would like to share an insight or a thought or a question or anything that you would like to share with the group, what this talk touched in you is very welcomed, and if anybody would like to just share about it. Yes, please.
I liked your garden analogy, probably because I'm a gardener, but it's like I put manure on my garden and expecting that it would then rain, and I went away and I came back and it hadn't rained, and everything that was there was kind of shriveling up, you know, too much heat, and so it makes you think about how sometimes you pour too much of maybe what would be nourishment ordinarily, but if you don't, you know, put all the other ingredients in.
Yeah, that's important.
Like that skillfulness.
The skillfulness, yes. Yeah. There's always more to learn, just like with the garden, always.
Yeah.
That willingness to always learn is so important. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else, please, don't be shy. Yes, please. Oh, would you say your name?
Joe. I wanted to bring up the issue of the blend of joy and pain relationship. And
seems like relationships have a tendency to go to extremes one way or the other. Mm. And if you're in a place of joy, you filter out the pain that's really there. You just filter it out so you don't see it until something comes up that kind of breaks through, and then it's like, oh my God, there's pain here. What's wrong? And then you can swing over to the other way, and then you filter out all the joy, and you have no access to doing something to fix it. And so how do you make yourself open to the fact that it's okay that there's pain when you're on this side, and open yourself up to, this person brings me joy when I'm in this other place of having all this pain that I, you know, decide to assign to them? It's hard to get into a kind of a middle place where you can allow both things.
It's such an important question. Thank you for bringing it up. Because, I mean, my answer would be to what you're bringing up is neither one is. This is still duality, huh? The joy and the pain. So we will never have a perfect balance between joy or pain. And like you said, you said, when we experience the pain, then all we see is the pain, and then this terrible person is becoming this monster. And the other extreme is like, oh my God, this is the hero of the day. And, you know, it goes, we've all done it. And I would say it's neither one. It's both is here as a reality of this life in duality, but deeper than that, I call it the anchor, is, I'm trying to find words that really, well, let's say the anchor is deeper than both joy and pain. It's your nature, is your center, is your equanimity, is the peace within, is the Dharma that all point, the Dharma points to your nature. So it's not about trying to balance joy and pain. It's more like coming back to what is essence, deeper than joy and pain. From that place, or you could call it from the compassion, you can allow both to be there, because you know you're rooted like the tree in your nature, in your loving presence that's beyond duality. Does this make sense, or is this too complex? Yeah? So my suggestion is more like, as an answer, come to the center, come use the Dharma to anchor yourself in the present, in your awareness, in your loving, because true love embraces both joy and pain and recognizes we are all human here, but deeper, we are greater than that. Is that helpful? Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking it. Anyone else?
You mentioned briefly about how the point of sort of like developing your, I don't know really how to word this, but I could just sort of refer to what you just mentioned, like mm-hmm. your, you know, center or whatever, anchoring mm-hmm. in yourself and being more compassionate and, I don't know, just like feeling what you're feeling, being mindful and stuff. Like, the point isn't to, like, then say, like, okay, I can endure being around people who have behaviors that don't benefit me. Like, that's not why you're cultivating that, you know? And I was just thinking that having you thinking about, like, boundaries and stuff, because then you mentioned, like, you don't have to, you know, sometimes if, like, I forget exactly what you said, but it had to do with, you know, perhaps, like, a relationship might turn out to be more superficial than, you know, you want it to be, or than, you know, you intended for it to be, or something. And I just kind of like started spinning off on that. And I don't know, if there was a hypothetical like next class or something, I'd be like really interested in hearing.
Great, we make it up, we make one. What would you call the next class?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like Dharma relationships, but about like boundaries. I don't know, like healthy, like establishing like a health, like, I don't know, like some way to check in
Yeah.
Like with yourself and establish whether or not something is, mm-hmm. I don't know. I
mean, whether something is sane or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's kind of too abstract really to be like.
What you basically
grounded in some.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But you're asking what I'm hearing. You're asking a question that's related to the compassion.
Yeah.
Where it can become the classic Buddhist or in any spiritual tradition I've seen is you have so much compassion that you let everybody walk all over you or yeah. endure it. For so yeah, I can handle that pain too. And that's not real compassion.
Mm.
So it's the I can say something really basic. Keep coming back to what is okay with your heart, what is resonates, what feels true mm-hmm. for you. Sometimes it might mean that you go through tremendous pain with somebody and it's just the right thing. And sometimes it might mean no, you're not gonna put up with this and gonna say no, you may not cross the line.
Yeah.
And that can be such a compassionate act. Just keep feeling into my suggestion. Keep feeling into what actually less up here thinking it,
yeah.
but more like feel in your body, in yourself. What resonates?
It sounds like you're saying that you can't just have like this like one directional thing.
No,
you're just directing compassion at someone, and you don't feel that for yourself. You know?
Oh, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Because. It's like it's not all beings out there and you're
yes.
separate. It's all beings, you too. So that's it would be an important class. I think so too, actually. Yeah, and that would be more of a practice class, actually. yeah. So just keep being connected to your own nature, to your own center. That's the number one. Huh? Then we can relate. Then we have something to relate from. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. As usual, I could continue.
Mm-hmm.
I just got going. So, but I class is only supposed to go to a certain time, and now. I'm German, always going over time. I'm going to honor that, and we're going to close with a loving kindness, grief practice. If you want to just close your eyes or keep them open. And again, just let yourself breathe. What's touched in you right now? And then let yourself feel just the lovingness that's in you towards someone you love, someone you care about. And inwardly you can repeat the words after me if you want to. May you be happy. May you be free of suffering. May you know love. And just feel that. May you turn it towards yourself. May I be free of suffering. May I enjoy happiness. May I know love. to go out to the whole group in this room, including all the relationships we have walked in with, that we engaged with. So many. Just may all who are here be happy. May all who are here be free of suffering. And may all who are here know love. And may all our relationships thrive and have happiness and be free of suffering and be loving with each other. And I dedicate this practice and our talk and time together to the benefit of all beings. May all be free of suffering. May all be happy. May all beings in all the worlds know love. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.